Well, one of the reasons I've asked for congressional hearings is because I think it's our way of protection. We know that generally Congress is very responsible when it has hearings or investigations in getting the facts on the table. And if we don't want to be subject to charges of cover-up and stonewalling, I think we ought to take it on. And if we don't want to be subject to kangaroo courts and the whims of other people under their laws and rules of operation, I think we ought to take it on so that we can at least see that it's done properly, that the facts are there, because otherwise we're going to be wandering in squalor. We are not going to know exactly what to counter any charges with or anything else. And as you know, there are many times where the nations of this world are not always friendly to the United States, and over a period of time, as charges and countercharges are made, it could be that we will have some of this unity erode, and that we will be as defensive as we are offensive on this particular issue. So I think we need congressional hearings for our own protection, if nothing else.
During your visit to Iran and also to the embassy specifically, did you see any evidence of Palestinian, Marxist, or radical Arab involvement in the student movement?
I've checked that quite thoroughly, and I've had it explained to me that it's very difficult in a movement that's very heavily based on fanatical religion, that there's a certain language and a certain way of doing things that goes along with it, and even the Savak, they were bragging, could not get too much of an infiltration situation into it because they could identify them, because they don't speak the same kind of language. They don't have the same kind of way of expressing themselves. It's a very difficult thing to infiltrate. And so I would say that at this point, if they say, and if they really are what they represent themselves to be, a strongly motivated religious group, then perhaps there's not that much of a Marxist situation in there, except as that group itself might be leaning one way or the other. I know for a fact in checking there that the Russian and Iranian people are not that friendly. I saw the Russian embassy. I inquired into the situation about it. There are only a couple thousand Russians, according to their reports, in the whole country. But that doesn't mean there aren't a lot of left-wingers and Marxists, and they're sitting there, and they know it, sitting there waiting for chaos and fragmentation to develop, such as we're witnessing today between the religions, between the tribes, and that they're there where they possibly could take advantage of it. You'd have the swing from the Shah to this religious fanaticism, and where is it going to end up? It may end up in Marx's hands, and so there's no question but what that possibility is there, but apparently they reject the fact that this movement so far is controlled by Marxists.
Would you comment on yesterday's court decision concerning the deportation of Iranian students from the United States?
Well, I think the only dangerous thing about the efforts with regard to the Iranian students in court is that under the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause, I don't know how you can aim it at one group of people. And it seems to me that if you're going to clamp down, that maybe your best way, your best protection in the courts is to clamp down on all illegals in the United States, not just one particular group, and it seems like you'd be on more firm ground. Nevertheless, I feel that we do have laws that should be obeyed, and those who, whether we have a crisis or not, those who are here illegally and improperly ought to be identified and either made legal or sent home. And I don't think that we ought to be having this situation. Out west, we don't have the uranium problem. We have the wetback problem. We have other kinds of problems of people coming from other countries for agricultural purposes. And those people, not only, even though they're here maybe for their economic benefit, they're exploited. They don't have the benefits of being citizens of this country. They're herded like sheep back across the border in many cases, and they're denied a lot of privileges that human beings ought to have. And so I think that for any kind of a human rights reason, we ought to be identifying those people who are here legally and illegally and making sure that we abide by the laws.
We could ask questions until Christmas of 1980 from the stack I have here, but I have one more I wish to ask, and before I do, I'd like to give Congressman Hansen what we give all our speakers at the Press Club, a certificate of appreciation and a National Press Club tie. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll wear that proudly.
And before I ask the last question, I'd like to inform those of you in the audience that there are and the gallery, there are copies of a press release and some other materials from the congressman available right outside the door here to the ballroom. This is a subject on which Congressman Hansen informs me he has been continually questioned, and We've had a number of inquiries about it as well. There's skepticism in the United States about your motives. Despite your pledge of support for Steve Sims, aren't you really trying to launch a race for the Senate in Idaho against Frank Church? And isn't the Idaho ploy all a part of that scheme?
Well, I'd just like to say that I a long time ago told Steve Sims if he wanted to run, he had my wholehearted support. When I went home to my hometown after I had just returned from Iran, I had someone ask me that very same question. And I stood right there in front of 200 people at the airport who had come to greet me. And I said, I am not running for the United States Senate. I have not planned to run for the United States Senate. And I do not plan to run for the United States Senate. And I'll sign it in blood if you'd like. And, you know, that newspaper that afternoon came out and says, Hansen's still deciding whether to run for the United States Senate. Well, I'll say it again. And if you've got a pen, I'll sign it in blood. But I would like to just leave you with this, that I realized that what I did was unorthodox. But when you have a State Department that's locked up and locked out, maybe it's time for a little unorthodox action. And I think it's important. And when they come to my office, not once, but two or three times, and keep asking me, how did you get in? The professionals are asking the amateur, then maybe the professionals better hone up a little bit on their professionalism or quit beefing about the amateurs. Thank you very much.